bleed a little bit today, because you're going to get in there and you're going to cut some things out that don't need to be there. And God, I pray as you do that, that you will mend that broken, you will mend that spot, and you will fill it with joy that only you can give. God, we just uplift it to you today and pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I am not standing still. That's all there is to it. We are not standing still. So we're going to, if I don't trip and kill myself, we'll be all right. This morning, as we get into our study, going into 1 Peter chapter 4, this study to me is huge because Peter now is going to begin an encouragement study. Because what we find is when Peter begins, again, courage for endurance, what we find is the heart of Peter's encouragement for endurance, this is the practical instructions based on Christ's example in an undergoing suffering. What we just studied the last few weeks was the concept of Christ and how he went through it and how he suffered and how he made it work. And so, you know, we look at that and we can say, you know what, but I'm not God. I'm not Christ. I can't suffer like that and have the endurance like that because I'm not God. Well, little do we know, and this is an interesting way to look at it, in the Old Testament, God had a tabernacle for the people. In the New Testament, he has a people for his tabernacle. And if the presence of God is in his tabernacle, if the presence of God continues to be in his tabernacle, guess what? He's in you. So you can't tell me that you can't endure and you can't continue in this world the way we need to continue because you're not God. True statement, you're not God, but you've got the power of God in you, which Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. See, one of the problems is we don't cry out to God enough for that strength. We have this power within us that we think is capable. We have this willing, and Justin even hit on, or Jason hit on, I'm sorry, the pride that we have. You know, we are a prideful people, and that just doesn't happen in men. Men have a stubbornness with their pride. Ladies, you're all just prideful. That's a whole nother message on both sides. But anyway, when we look at serving God, we need to understand the first point and the first way of enduring anything through what Christ is going to allow us to go through is we've got to do it with him. We've got to do it in his strength and his power and his ability. So when we come to this, 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter does this in several ways. First of all, we are armed to arm ourselves with Christ-like courage. We are to arm ourselves with Christ-like courage. The second thing Peter brings out is that we are to minister to one another with Christ-like service. We'll get you on that Sunday, won't we? The third one is commit ourselves to God with Christ-like faith. That's the whole chapter. And I've already been forewarned on the first Sunday of August. My wife, lovely wife, was sitting here. She leans over and says, you better not go over. So, we are not going to preach all of this today. We're not preaching the whole chapter today. Oh, it was fun. All the workers downstairs with the kids know that when the preacher goes over, they have sweat. Okay, so we're trying to behave. I'm trying to be careful, not just because, but for all of you ladies. But anyway, we're going to look at the first one of those today. We're going to pick this apart. We're going to tear this apart in such a way that we are able to, and we'll be able to every Sunday. There's the next three Sundays. This Sunday and the next two Sundays' messages right there. And I want you to encourage you to go through 1 Peter 4. Read through 1 Peter 4. Read it. Understand it, deal with it, try to figure it out, and then we're going to study it together. And if you have questions, let me know. Text me in the middle of the week, sometime during the week. Try not to do it 10 minutes before church. But let me know your questions. We'll try to address them as we study this, because listen, the most important thing about what Peter is going to tell them in these three areas is Christ-like. Folks, we have lost the meaning of Christ-like. And we have allowed the world and we have allowed other teachers and other people to define what Christ-like looks like. And we need to get back into the fundamentals, get back into the Word of God, and let the Word of God define himself and what he looks like. And so when we do that, and when we get into here, what we're going to do is we're going to see this develop in such an unbelievable way. I'm excited because I know that my God has the power. He is capable. He is going to do some change up. He is going to do some shake up. He's going to do some circumcisions of the heart. And we're going to be an effective ministry in this town. Because we want to be Christ-like. I don't know anywhere Christ didn't go that he caused a crowd, huh? Good, bad, or otherwise, in the world's standard, he always had a crowd. And so I think what a lot of Christendom is going to, again, is, boy, they love Christ and they'll follow Christ because of what he can do. Folks, I want to just take away from all of our understanding what he can do. And I want you to focus on simply who he is. Because if you fall faithful and you surrender your heart, your soul, and your mind to a Christ for just simply who he is, wow. He's going to pop out of that page and he's going to show up in ways in your mind that you've never, ever seen. Because sometimes we're too busy looking for what he can do for us and not who he is. So the challenge right up front is we're trying to see who he is through Peter to a group of people who need endurance. Because life stinks. Life's hard. We are living in a world that is beautiful but broken. They were living in a world much worse than we're living in. And, you know, we've only been so blessed, which makes it look like it's so worse right now. But listen, the worst is yet to come. And I'm convinced we are not going to just vote a man in the office and everything is going to be great. The only time that a man will sit in this office that we call the White House and life is going to be great is when the Lord returns and sits there. Until then, hold on, because here we go. Don't matter who it is. There is no man that is able to do what only a mighty God can conquer and do. Don't put your faith in men. Don't put your trust in men. And Peter's going to simply say, as we study down through, the first one we want to look at today is we are to arm ourselves with Christ-like courage. So if you don't have your Bibles open yet, please open them to 1 Peter chapter 4. We are going to look at this again as we go through this somewhat slowly, but yet very encouragingly. The first thing we need to see, armed with Christ-like courage, we find in verses 1 through 6. I'm going to read them very carefully. Stay in your Bible. Follow along with me. For as much as they then as Christ have suffered for us in flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind, for he has suffered in the flesh, has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live in the rest of his time in the flesh in the lust of men, but will the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lavishness, lust, excessive wine, revelings, banqueting, and abominable and idolatries, wherein they think it is strange that we run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to them that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. And there's a lot of stuff in there, so we're going to tear it apart a little bit. The first thing we want to see, patient endurance in unjust suffering. How do we arm ourselves with Christ? A patient endurance in unjust suffering. How do we know? How do we get there? How do we understand that? First of all, arm yourself. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. We read verse 16 this morning, but in verse 13, verse 13 of the same chapter says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. What that verse is saying and what Peter is saying is, listen, in the very first part of verse 4, for as much. It's the same word as therefore. It's the same word as, listen, now that we understand what Christ did, now that we understand how Christ did it, there's now something we need to understand. For as much, therefore, because, verse 4, 1 of chapter 4, Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself. Arm yourself. That arming that we have, and again in Ephesians 6:13, is the full armor of God. And it goes on in chapter 6 of 13 of Ephesians to explain that armor, the helmet, the breastplate, the girdle of salvation, and we have all those things listed for us. But when we understand it in a way that what Peter is saying, he's telling this group of people, listen, you've got to arm yourself. If you don't already, in the good days, start preparing and start getting ready for and start getting some armor about you, when the enemy comes, you're done. Because it's too late. It's too late to say, all of a sudden, I'm going to stand. All of a sudden, I'm going to fight. If you're not willing to fight right now, today, don't think you're going to do it tomorrow. It's not going to happen tomorrow. Because tomorrow, while the enemy comes, while Satan comes whipping his darts around at you, he's going to nail you, and then you're going to say, you know what, I need to deal with something. I need to deal with this. And by that time, you're already done. And my encouragement to me, my encouragement to you today is, listen, start putting on some armor now. Because it's not as bad as what it's going to be. You see, when chapter 4 comes on scene, this group of people have been persecuted, have been dispersed, have been all over, have lost many things, but the persecution is only going to get worse. And as it gets worse, Peter's already encouraging them, listen, you got to endure. And he's going to give them a good reason for that as we study through this morning. So first thing we need to understand about patient endurance in unjust suffering, you got to arm yourself. Now, how many of you went through last week and not one thing was done against you unfair? Anybody? Somebody maybe said something. Somebody said something to you or something happened to you that you think, boy, that ain't fair. Well, just fill your gas tank up. That ain't fair. Man, there's a lot of things out there that ain't fair. I had talked to a guy the other day, and he says, it only cost me $20 to fill my gas tank up. I said, $20? Man, you must have a motorcycle. No, it was my lawnmower. Anyway, when we look at life, and we look how life is treating, and how life is unfair, and how life is going, listen, there isn't a word of unfair. Unfair isn't even in our Christian dictionary. Because fair means we should all be in hell. That's fair. And Christ said that's not how it's going to work. That's not what's going to happen. So Peter says arm yourself. Very, very, very important as we look at this. So arm yourself likewise with what? With the same. And I want to pause there. We realize the next word is mind, and we're going to get to that. But with the same. Because when it says with the same what? How do you get your definitions? How do you get your philosophy of life? How do you understand how to live in this crazy world we live in? How do you understand? What do you go to for your information? Now, we all sit here and say, well, I go to the Bible. Okay, show me. Show me you go to the Bible. Because you don't go to the Bible if you're living something different. Or you're just not listening to the Bible, either way. We go to news, we go to people, we go to life, we go to circumstance, and we allow the world in which we live in to begin to define what we understand, what we know. And that's why the educational system has been so bent on changing everything about God. Because that's how they get our kids. That's how they get our young adults. And that's how they get the older adults. That's how they get people in the White House like that. Because the educational system has begun to take away the truth of God. So if we're going to go back to the truth of God, by the way, that is the sword of the word. That is the conference that we just came from. And by the way, this message wasn't preached then, okay? I'm not re-preaching one from yesterday. Jason and Gary will verify that. This is fresh because I'm going to tell you what, it lit me up. Do you think I get excited before? I ain't seen nothing yet. Because with the same, what does that mean? Go to Luke chapter 22. Set your finger there in 1 Peter. And in Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Christ says this. We understand at this moment he is in the garden. We understand that everyone around him did not pray or stay up praying. But in 42, he's saying, Father, if thou will be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's the same. That's what the Bible says the same means. When you have Christ, who has the ability to do whatever he could have called 1,000 angels. He could have done whatever he wanted to do. He was still 100% God and 100% man, and he chose voluntarily to kenos, the Greek word, to empty himself of all of that he had, voluntarily saying, I will sacrifice for the sins of this world. So at this verse, pressure's on. And I love the way Ray Vanderlyn put this together, and we talk about that in the cup, and that Christ at the upper room, when he talked to them about the Lord's table, or the Last Supper as we know it, he said, drink from this cup. I cannot drink from this cup until the cup he was about to drink from was in the Old Testament, the cup of God's wrath. He's the only one who could have drank that cup. He drank that cup for you and I, and we find it here the same. What does it mean? He came to his Father crying, understanding the pressure, understanding what was going to happen in the next few hours, understanding the beating that he was going to take for you and me, understanding that he was going to be held and he was going to be treated unfair. We have no idea what unfair means when you look at what Christ, and that's the whole thing, Christ-like, the same. And you go to that verse, and he simply says, if not, your will be done. That's what that verse, that's what Peter's trying to tell him. That's what that verse, the same, means. So, with the same what? Back into 1 Peter chapter 4. With the same mind. Interesting enough, this word mind is also translated attitude. Attitude regarding suffering. Christ was courageous. Man, I want to tell you what, we can get into that, huh? Us, man, we can get into courageous. We can get into doing things, and we've got this force thing in our mind that we can do a whole lot more than what we think we can. You know, and I've said it before, and many of you have reached with me the point where your mind says, go for it, and your body says, ain't happening. And we get to that point in our life. Well, when we look at this, what he wants and what Peter is saying, if you want to have encouragement, if you want to have endurance, if you want to be able to go through this life with all the brokenness that's out there, you've got to arm yourself with the armor of God. You've got to have the same mind as Christ when it comes to suffering. You have to understand, it's not why me, it's why not me. It's not oh me, it's thanks it's me. Because we live in a broken world, we're going to get broken. But you know what? Thanks, it's me, that I have a God who can take my brokenness. I thank God that he can take away my pain. He can take away my sorrow. He can mend the broken heart, as he is the only God that can do that. That's awesome, isn't it? Anybody else agree with that? All right, we'll get a couple more to agree with that. Listen, we need to understand this is what it's going to take, folks. Listen, you can't bank because you're getting older and you're going to die before all this happens. You can't bank on the fact, I pray right now that the rapture horn blows, right now. I would love to be preaching when that happens. Man, I would love it. And then I would learn how to do it right when I got there. We need to understand and live like we believe this. And the problem with Christendom today, the problem with Christ follows, we don't live like we believe this. We live in a world of fear. We live in a world of what are we going to do? We live in a world of building up. Listen, there's not one person that come to know Christ because of the sign out front, although I greatly appreciate Eric doing that. That's not what that was intended for. There's not one person come to Christ because they walked into church and said, wow, this is nice. How many people? I know many people. Wow, I love your roof. Okay. I love it too. I love the woodwork. It's nice. Didn't lead anybody to the Lord. You know what leads people to the Lord? Christians who believe what they claim. That's what leads people to the Lord. We sing the song, people need the Lord, passing by every day. But do we really care? Do we have a concern that we need to understand what it takes to endure in this world we live? You see, that's the first one. The second one we need to understand. As a result, there is a change. Verse 2 says that he is not Christ. It is the he, for he that suffered in verse 1 in the flesh has ceased from sin. Can't be talking about Christ, is it? Did Christ sin and he ceased from sin? Absolutely not. Christ was only mentioned in verse 1 as an example that he suffered in the flesh for us. So arm yourself with that. Now he's going to say, here's you, here's me. Verse 2, that he, you and I, no longer should live the rest of our life, his life, in the flesh, to lust of men, but to the will of God. Listen, this is huge. You shouldn't be concerned about what's going to happen tomorrow in our world. You shouldn't be worried about all the things in our whether it's international or not. What you need to worry about is, are you living for the will of God in your life? He's telling this group of people that, listen, in the will of God in my life means that I'm going to have to be who Christ, like Christ, wants me to be, even if I'm suffering, even if the world falls apart, even if all my bank account money goes away, even if my house is gone, even if whatever. The problem is we allow the world's understanding of pain and loss to affect us more than walking in the will of God. And listen, we need to get this, folks, because I guarantee you we're going to be alive and we're going to struggle and we're going to have issues in this journey we call life until God calls us home. When God calls us home, until then, there was some, until then. You see, we need to realize we need to spend less time worrying about who others and what others are doing and focus on you. One of the greatest things that Satan has done is he has gotten our eyes off the mirror and we're looking at everybody else. Like, I ain't that bad. Can you believe the preacher wore a t-shirt and preached? I got the eye looks. I saw y'all coming in. Trust me, I'm very observant. And you know what? It was done for a purpose, because I want you to understand this men conference is important to me, okay? I'll have a tie on next week if it all makes you happy. But you want to know what? At the end of this message, I want you to ask yourself one question. Did my message affect you any different because I had a t-shirt on? We need to stop looking at the outside of people and focus on the heart. We need to focus on our heart. And I'm not promoting t-shirts, okay? I will wear a tie next week. Anyway, as we see this, I can really get off on that, but I won't. Anyway, as a result, there is a change. No longer live in the flesh. Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how hard it is. Pastor, you don't know what's going on in my life. Well, you know what Romans 6 says? Romans chapter 6, verse 6 and 7 says this. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, but he that is dead is freed from sin. Go ahead and call God a liar. Tell him you can't do it. Tell him you can't. You don't understand what's going on. You don't understand who I live with. You don't understand my life. You don't understand my upbringing. You don't understand things are going on. I don't, and I don't need to. God does. And God said that we are free. That word destroyed doesn't mean you will no longer sin. That destroyed means leave him in the grave. Why do we resurrect that old man? Temptation comes, re-wreck the old man and do it. We are not bound by the sin. We are freed. We're going to preach till 3, I'm telling you. No longer do we live in the flesh. We are freed from the flesh. But you know what? We put ourselves in the bondage, don't we? We put ourselves back under that bondage of sin because we say we can't. We say it's too hard. We say it's impossible. And I don't understand that. When God says you're free, according to John 8:32, you're free indeed. You're free. I love it. I love to be free to do what I want to do. Thus, I'm in a t-shirt. I love to be free to do what we can do in the same process living for God. You got to get this. The second thing we find, but to the will of God. There is a contrast, and we know that's what that word but does. It's a contrast word. And so it's giving you a chance in verse 2 to understand there's a result. There's a change. And again, you want to win your family for Christ? You want to win the people around you for Christ? You want to make a difference and have an effect in this world? Change. Change. They are looking for real. They're looking for true. They're looking for people who say, I have a hope in me. I have a hope in me. I mean, which one are you going to believe? You got to live it. You have to live it in such a way to live to the will of God. And the will of God is, says, we need to have the same mind as he had about suffering. So what did he do? God, if you can take this away, but if not, your will be done. And then he stood silent. Try that. Stand silent to the accusers in front of you. Stand silent to the unfair world around you. Stand silent to the one who is trying to belittle you and to all the circle of friends and the people around you. Listen, it happens to me all the time, and I'm sure it happens to you. People don't like me. I find it hard to believe. But people don't like me. And you know what I say? Tough. I don't care. I'm not here to please you. I'm here to live for God. If God likes me, I don't care. And Kim, I don't care. She's down. You all tell her I said that because she's not here to hear that. When we look at life and we live through life, what we need to understand is that we need to get our minds prioritized, because where the mind goes, the heart goes. Where the heart goes, the feet go. And we need to get our minds focused back on the thing, but to the will of God. The only reason we're still here is to live the will of God in our life. And listen, this is not easy. This is the most difficult thing you will do, to sit there in front of a silent day or find time to be alone with God and say, God, I want to do whatever your will is for my life today. He may take you through the ringer. He may take you deep into that valley. One of the words that was used quite often over the week, one, that was deep. That was a deep pull he just threw you all in. That was a deep pull, man. They hammered us, guys. I loved it. I get a little bit of that. Hammered us to the will of God. I'm going to tell you, the important part of that is very clear. It's the will of God that makes a difference. We are to live in the present for the will of God. Now, I want you to define your present. What is your present in this moment? What are your fears? What are your struggles? What is your life like? What are your worries? What are you looking to do in your rest of your life or tomorrow? What is your present? It doesn't say when the days are good, you smile. When the days aren't, you frown. What is your present? Whatever your present is, we are to live the will of God in our life. Doesn't matter, anything else. And we've allowed ourselves to think that it's okay to hurt. It is okay to hurt. But it's not okay to stay there. It is okay for you and I to face the struggles of life and get broken. Listen, we need to be broken. Because if we don't get broken, we can't get fixed by God. That's Jeremiah. Go to the potter's house. Watch him make a pot of clay. God is the one who molds the clay. You and I are just the clay. So when we understand this in our life, we are to live in the present. Define your present and then come back and tell me how you cannot live the will of God. Because folks, that's our struggle today, right now. Right now, this moment today. What is on your mind? What is on your heart? What is your struggle? What can't you get through? What can't you get over? Who is in your mind that you need to go share Christ with? What is it? What's your present? And then tell me why you can't live the will of God. Because I'll take you to scriptures and tell you you can. I'll show you. It's a surrendered mind, heart, soul, priorities, all of that fit into place. See, we need to be defining our present. The third thing we find in these verses, living in the present for the will of God means what? What does it look like? How do we do that? First, old habits are in the past. Verse 3, for the time past, our life may suffice to have wrought in the will of the Gentiles. before I was saved, I used to be this guy. I used to think like this. I used to talk like this. I used to do these things. I used to go to these places. I used to be that guy. But you know what? After all this is done, after you find the will of God, after you accept Christ, old habits are in the past. Listen, there are some here today that I know, whether you're sitting in here or they're watching live, there are some here today that I know are using their past as an excuse to not serve God in the present. God wouldn't want me to do that. Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I don't need to, okay? I don't want to know what you've done. And you know what? I don't want you to know what I've done. But I do know that God is using me in the present. Why? Because I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed, man. I am forgiven. I'm redeemed. And you know what? Because of that, there's change. The reason why God can't use some people is not because of their past. It's because they haven't changed their past. They haven't left it in the past. They're still trying to muddle through it. They're trying to go back and fix it. They're still trying to go back and trying to correct things that are impossible. More and more times I talk to people, what I'm finding out is people want what they can't have, and they never will, but they still want it. I think that's a little bit insanity. I'm not sure. Isn't that right? You want something you can't have, and you want it anyway. There's a little bit of insanity in that. Old habits, put them where they belong, in the past, leave them there. Second thing it looks like, living in the present for the will of God. Old friends are now persecutors. Any of you got a couple of those? Oh, I love these. I love when they start, because then I start. Verse 4 says, wherein they, the old crowd, old friends, old people, think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excesses of riot, speaking evil of you. Listen, if those people that you used to do all the great crazy things with that aren't really good for you, and they call you up and, hey, you want to go? Hey, you want to come here? You want to go to... And you say, no, I'm not. Why can't you? Because I'm no longer doing that. And they say all kind of things, and they hang the phone up. You want to hear about it? Can you believe they're them holy rollers? They got something wrong with them. And yeah, all these things. And oh, you know what happens from that? You should thank God at that moment. Because your changed life is what changes theirs. Your changed life is what will lead them to Christ. Christian, Christ followers, don't compromise on your old. Don't compromise on your old. When those old people start coming, listen, people, places, and things, when you don't change them, they're going to come after you. When you do change them, thank God there's a difference. And that difference is what will lead them. Stay strong. Encourage for endurance. If God's brought you to a place, stay there until God moves you. Stay there until God gives you something different. The old friends become your persecutors in verse 4. The next thing, the judge is ready. The judge is ready. Look at verse 5. Who shall give account to him that is ready? The him. Ah, that's God. The him is in you and I. You and I are not the judges. You and I cannot say, look at this, look at that, look what they're doing. It's not ours. We're not the judge. The judge is ready. And again in verse 5, it says the judge is ready to the quick. That word quick in the Greek simply means alive, and to the dead. So he's judging those all so that when everyone stands before him, everyone simply says, we have no excuse. Isn't that what he said back in Romans chapter 1 and 2? Men are without excuse. And now he's going to judge everybody saying, you have no excuse. You either followed me, you either accepted me, you lived for me, or you didn't. Don't give me all the reasons because you know what? They don't matter. Either you do or you don't. And so when we look at this, again, our takeaway from this morning, and we're going to stop with verse 6. I want to take verse 6 as our takeaway. The beginning of verse 6 says, for this cause. What cause? so that you and I can live a changed life, so that you and I can understand what it means to suffer for Christ, so that you and I can understand what it means to have an eternal life with Christ. Listen, if you suffer a little bit on this earth, thank God you're going to spend eternity without it. Can you imagine without Christ, you're going to suffer on this earth and you're going to suffer for an eternity? You see, we don't need to focus on the suffering here because we have a promise of there. And that's exactly what verse 6 says. For this cause was the gospel preached. It was preached to them. So our takeaway this morning, maintaining proper conduct in suffering requires. First thing, have a Christ-like courageous attitude. I can defeat this. I can beat this habit. I can beat this whatever. Whatever is in your present that is carrying you and bogging you down, you can beat it. And because you can beat it, why? Because he was victorious, so are you. We have no excuse, none, of why we can't be living the will of God in our life. There is no excuse other than we choose not to. Having Christ-like courageous attitude. Second thing, living in the present in God's will. Living in the present in God's will. Listen, that's going to look different for each of us. But I do know that God's will says that I need to endure. And my heart goes out to anyone here today who has a broken heart. Anyone who's living a brokenness of this world, for whatever reason, there's a brokenness. For whatever reason, you're living something that is just tearing you up. My heart goes to you. I cry for you and I pray for you. But don't stay there. Please don't stay there. Your God is too good to stay there. He is too great to walk away and still be that discouraged in life. That's stuck in the habit. That's stuck in his decisions. Living in the present in God's will. The third thing we find, live like you believe you still live in his presence for eternity. What would that look like for you today? What does that look like for you today to live, number three? Live like you believe you will live in his presence for eternity. I can't even picture that in my mind. One, because I can't picture eternity. You and I are stuck in time, man. We're in this time zone, and we're stuck by our watches and our calendars, and we're stuck in this time zone. But to live that free, that there's no time. Think about what that would do to your everyday. Man, we'd accomplish everything, wouldn't we? We'd get everything done we're supposed to get done. Forever living in his presence. And you want to know what he's done for you and I? He's given us this broken world to practice. To practice living in his center of his will till we get there and live with him for an eternity. Man, it's a practice. I am so grateful that God has done what he has done in my life. I am grateful that he has done what he's done in many of your lives. But I know in my life, there's more to do. There's more for God to do. There's more for me to give up. There's more for me to let go of. There's more for me to allow him to control in my life. And I don't think I'm the only one here today that needs to let God do some circumcision of the heart, get rid of some things in your life, things that are worrying you, things that are bothering you, things that are struggling you to move on and be effective for God. Get rid of them. Encourage you to get rid of them because we serve an unbelievable God. Unbelievable God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for as we study this morning. We thank you for the truth. We thank you for the power that you give us. And God, I pray that if there's anyone here today, first of all, that doesn't know you as a personal Savior, that would be the first move they make. God, that they will come to you. They will surrender it all to you. That's the only way change is going to work. It's the only way change is going to be long-lasting. And God, those who know you, your children here today, Father, there are some who just really have allowed things into their life, have allowed people to bother them, have allowed issues and struggles and brokenness to scream louder than what your will is for their life. And God, today I pray they give it up, I pray they come to you in the quietness of their heart and just say, God, here am I. God, take it. God, give me your peace. Give me your strength. And Father, today, I believe today will be a start day for many of us to get the fire, to get excited, and to live your will in our life. And God, we give you the praise and the glory in your Son's name. Amen. As we close in our final